All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to Footwork, a podcast for those who dream big, never settle, and make their own path. I'm Sean.
And I'm Dylan. Together with guests, we share stories and tips every Monday to educate, inspire, and create a community built of soccer players and dream chasers.
Footwork is brought to you by...
The Talent Project is America's bridge to Europe for the elite few, providing opportunities for young American players that they can't get in the United States. We're looking for a few good men. Visit us at www.talentproject.com and see if you qualify.
Better to have a short life that is full of what you like doing than a long life spent in a miserable way.
Welcome to Footwork.
Inés Joyna is a French professional footballer for Olympique Lyon, quite possibly the best team in the world. She played for Florida State in university before finding her way in semi-pro and then professional opportunities, while also representing the French national team. Her love for the game and trusting herself and her life's path have brought her to amazing heights. Enjoy.
Inés Joyna, welcome to Footwork.
Thank you.
How is his pronunciation? How is the pronunciation? Between 1 and 10.
It's perfect.
Okay, wow.
No.
Good job.
That's,
good job,
that's
Sean.
Too kind.
So we always like to start off. We always like to start off with our motto here, which is make your own path.
Yes.
Pretty much kind of means, you know, what it sounds like to follow your own dreams and not held to the normal routes if they don't fulfill you. So what does making your own path mean to you, and how do you feel like you've done that?
Of course, I think it's important to make your own path. I think it should be a mix between having models, examples, and within that, make your own path. So it's good to know where you want to go and how you can do that, how people did that. But then how are you going to do this with your personality, with what you can bring as an athlete, because we're talking about sport here. So what are your qualities, where you want to go, and how you're going to do this? But of course, you're making your own path, but you can use examples. And I think it's good to use examples and then become yourself an example.
Love. Now, to give the listeners a bit of a quick background before we dive deeper. Who are you, where were you, and where are you going?
So, as you said and pronounced it very well, I'm Inés Joyna. I'm from France. I'm now more towards the end of my career than the beginning, and I'm just playing for professional at the highest level as I can every day, embracing actually playing football every day. Like, I try to realize how nice and cool this is, and remember the little kid playing and enjoying the fact that it became a job and a career for me. So yeah, I'm just trying to take my career to the best it can be, enjoying the years I have left playing.
Yeah, makes sense, and I think it's a very good time to be grateful with it all too. But you mentioned in the make your own path just about models, and I was curious if you had any role models growing up that you kind of could be in football, could be out of football, that, you know, really helped to shape you as a person or as a player.
Well, that's the thing. I think with me, that's what I was missing. I missed a role model. I missed an example. And I really did my own path. So for women football, because I'm 31 years old right now, when I was a kid, I did not have an example of especially in France. I don't know about in America, but in France, I had no idea about a woman being professional because it didn't exist back then. So now when we go as a team and meet little girls, I'm happy for them because I tell myself they see us and they see what they can become. But me, I didn't see anybody. I didn't know what I could become. Growing up, I didn't know I could be a professional. So, you know, in school, at least in France, they ask you what job you want to do later, what's your dream. And I didn't even dare writing a football player, because for me that was a men's business. But now the little girls know that it's also a women's thing. So I think that that's great, and I think it's what that's my not my regret, but what I missed as a little kid.
Now let's stay on that. You grew up in France. How early did you begin to play football? And yes, you didn't maybe write it on you know the school assignments. What do I want to be when I grow up? But did you have the dream or the idea that you would love to play professional football someday?
As I tell you, not really, because it really did not exist. Like I didn't have the knowledge that it was a thing, so I couldn't even dream about it. But the love of football made that I kept playing, and because I was playing, always playing at the highest level, then it, it became something. But I'm here right now, where I am right now, I couldn't dream about it when I was a kid.
Footwork.club, the official website for all things footwork, is now live.
Check out all Footwork podcast content, including episodes, guest features, and YouTube videos.
The Press, a section with written articles, interviews, and blogs from ourselves and guests.
Game Time, updates about our season in Germany and what's going on behind the microphone.
Want to go pro? Dedicated to helping soccer players follow their dreams with helpful info and our consultation sign-up. That's a free video call with us to connect and ask anything.
And of course, the Footwork Shop. We got some of the best merch around, as well as free PDF templates like a CV builder and much more.
So join the club at footwork.club. And just speaking about now, I mean, you signed with Lyon this past year. I know it's been a tight race in the league so far for the first place, competitive Champions League. So how does it feel to be a part of this team? How has the season been? And how do you describe a club like Lyon?
It's great to be here. I'm delighted to be here and to be in a club where women football is important, because even if women are professional in many clubs today, sometimes it's just I feel like there's just a team so that there's a team, but then the means are not there and the facilities are not really good and everything. But it's great to play for a top European club, the top European club, I would say. And to have games every 3 days, to play in big stadiums in front of people. To feel important for the club and for the supporters.
Yeah. And I mean, just like you said, I think Lyon is very known for its role in equality for women's football. So, I mean, knowing other teams and playing at other teams, knowing other players who have played at other teams, how important do you feel like a club like Lyon is in that quest to open more doors for women's football globally?
I think Lyon has been a locomotive. Is that a word? Locomotive?
Yeah.
For women's football for a very long time. And I think it still is. And I think it's important that it stays the same. So to me, Lyon is a top club in the French league, and it needs to be to stay as it is. And every team wants to become Lyon. And that's how women's football in France and everywhere becomes better, because every team wants to reach Lyon's level and try. And fortunately, Lyon is still ahead of a lot of teams, and I hope Lyon stays a locomotive for some more years.
And how have you seen the game growing for women throughout your career? Now being a little bit in the latter part of your career, just seeing the growth in it. Obviously, a long ways to go still, but what areas do you feel like have really come a long way and have improved?
I feel like the players are better, the players are improving, whether we talk about football or like physicality. there are more good teams, more competitive teams. We can see it in the scores. The scores are getting tighter. The games are harder to win every weekend. But I think the league could still do better. You know, I think some leagues abroad are growing faster than in France, and whether it's in the facilities or the organization and the work conditions, and I think some countries are doing better, and I think it's a shame because we have very good players in France. We have everything to be one of the best countries in the world, and I think the national team too. Obviously, that's a subject should do better in big competitions, and should be like France could be on the top of the world.
So, as fans like Sean and I, or just people listening to this podcast, what could we do? What could others do in order to kind of help grow the women's game even more?
I think you guys do. I think you guys do enough, and it's just what I tell people is because sometimes you still hear like, "Oh, women's football. I don't like to watch women's football. It's too slow or whatever. It's too this and this." But I think when it comes to women's football, people compare it too much to men's football. And that's where we lose it, because of course if you watch a women's football, you're not gonna see the exact same thing that you see when you watch a men's game. And when you watch a women's game, you have to be ready to see something else. It's just different. Well, it's football, but it's just played differently. So you're not gonna see we don't run as fast, we don't kick this long, but we do other great things, and it's just a different game that you could enjoy if you're ready to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a great perspective on it. Now, I want to rewind the clock 15 years ago when you were 15, 16, 17 years old. You were involved with the youth national team, and at the time you were playing for Saint-Maur in the second tier of French football. Now, how was that like, being involved at the highest level at the time with the national team in France? And then what was the life like playing for a club in the second tier of French football at the time?
Well, to be honest, when I was 14, and the president of the club actually came to my house to meet my dad, to meet me and my dad, to like invite us to play for the team. And they were like, I was 14 and I was playing with the boys at the time, and they were like, okay, you need to come to our club to play second division, to play women's second division. And I was like, it was to play with adults. So I was like, second division, are you sure? So yeah, it was crazy at the time to when they come get you and tell you that you're going to play with adults in the second division at 14 years old. I honestly didn't really believe it. So that's when it started, and then yeah, called up with the youth national team, and yeah, that's how I feel. Everything came. It just, because I didn't know where I was going, everything like came to me, and then I just adapt to the level and the don't know how to say, the exigence. No, that's a French word.
It'll be good for all of our listeners to yes, open up the dictionary.
Yeah,
but no, we get what you're saying 100%. Yeah,
yeah. Now, how do you feel? I feel like that there's almost a beauty in that. You never had these really, maybe at the time, you never had goals really far ahead because you were just living in the present. Like, for example, you were 14 playing with the boys, and this president comes along, says you're going to play with, you know, the adult women's team in the second division.
Yeah.
And you're kind of just living in the moment because you don't know what to expect. Because like you said, there was nothing to look for, to see what's possible. Did you feel that that maybe benefited you because you just played freely when you got to the pitch?
Yeah, of course. As I said earlier, it was just the love of the game, just going out there and play and get to the level that was needed. So yeah, it was. That's why I still embrace it today, and I still live things that way today too.
Do you feel like this time was very important for you in your development as a player in terms of what could be possible, you know, in the years to come?
Well, I still had no idea when I was 18 that I could be a professional player. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just me, but I was just I was just denying it, maybe. No, so then, yeah, lacking example, but one of the I knew that football for women football was big in the US, so that's also why I went to the US after with university.
That's what I was going to ask. How did that kind of that idea come to go play and to go study in America? Was it mostly from seeing like how the football culture was and the opportunities there, or was it a bit of just everything, new experience, new education?
Well, it was mostly because I didn't know, I had no really plan of what to do in France after I graduated high school. So I needed to study, I needed to play football, and I knew all of this was just at once in the US, and I knew football, women's football was big in the US. So when they tell me you can go play football in America, study, learn English, all at the same time, I'm like, and have this this life experience. So it's like, okay, I'm going for it.
And you make the jump over the Atlantic to join Florida State University. What were your first reactions, maybe in preseason when you got there, in terms of the culture, the style of the game, the differences between France and the US in terms of the way football's played?
Well, first, the American in general, like, it was just so welcoming. So it made me feel, not going to say at home right away, but it just made me feel very welcome and well right away. Then what was the most impressive was the facilities. It was incredible. My dad visited, he was a sport reporter, so he's seen like facilities around the world, and he told me what you guys have here is better than or is exactly the same as what they have in Real Madrid, for example.
Yeah.
So yeah, just the feeling that you have everything you need to perform, and it's not just for sport. It's also true for the whole university. The facilities are impressive, but I don't even know where they get the money from. It's it's impressive.
Us either. It's crazy. Yeah. But it is exactly like you say, and I think from Sean and I living in Europe for a bit. And then, you know, meeting some players who have played in the U.S. or meeting some players who are thinking about playing in the U.S. It's always that idea of like these D1 schools legitimately have everything that a top club has.
Yeah.
And I think that is such a eye-opening thing for someone to see, is like, just like how you explain it, like going there and seeing all these different grass pitches, seeing that there is two physios for a team, there's the ice bath, there's the fit, there's everything really you could ever wish for. It is professional without being professional.
Exactly, yeah. It's better than what I had lived in France before coming, definitely. And having 3,000 people coming to see you for a home game was just incredible too. And yeah, there was just this thing about being an athlete of the university and being a woman that plays football, it just seems so cool for other people. You know, when I was meeting people and I said I play for the soccer team, I just felt not important, but I don't know, people just enjoyed it, you know.
Yeah. Did that maybe begin to give you the feeling of, you know, maybe playing professional football as a woman is possible? Because like you said, when you got to the U.S., yeah, you're in university, but it is like professional, and you have people recognizing you and people coming to the games and appreciating you for being what you are, versus in France, maybe at the time before you came, it was never like that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's when it kind of started, yeah. When it started to give me some ideas.
Love that. Just in terms of making a big decision like that, I mean, leaving your home country to go to America, do you look back at the time of like the decision making? Were you afraid at all to take that jump?
Not really. I was just, I don't know, I'm like that. I'm not too scared of traveling or leaving my family. Or it's my character. So not to me, I just I embraced it too. It was an adventure, and I went to a soccer school in France from 15 to 18, so I was away from home during the week. So that was a start of like being away from my family. But then yeah, they came to visit me a lot. My sister first came with me so that I could adapt. So, and it was also my dad pushing me to go abroad and learn English. And he's always pushed us to do that kind of thing. So it's kind of like in the family, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you know English beforehand?
No, but I really wanted to. So it helped. I was good in school, but the English courses in France are not so good.
So how was that when you first got to Florida? Was it difficult to communicate and kind of adapt to the team? And I mean, also studying in English when you're maybe not so fluent in it also must be pretty difficult.
Yeah, it's true. After a month, I just went to school and had all the classes. So I was really like, I jumped into the culture and the language. So, well, at first, not gonna lie, it was a bit difficult to understand. Like if it was a one-on-one conversation, I'd be right, because it's easier. But if I had to, let's say, talk to somebody on the phone, or if some teammates were like joking around and talking with each other, I was just lost. So it just took me a few months to become at ease with like English and everything.
Now, looking back on that time, do you have any memories that really stand out and kind of, you know, that you'll take with you forever?
Very bad with my memory, but it's just a hole, you know. It's just the whole 3 years that I can't really take. Of course, like I have a moment of life that come back, and I think we're just we had no like worries. We were just enjoying our lives. No problems in the team, just playing some good football, traveling, not going to school so much because we would miss a lot of traveling. And it was the good life. Yeah,
it's the good life.
Good life, yeah. and good football. So that's all I ask for. Hmm.
Before you did go back to France, was there any talks or the possibility that you could stay in the U.S. and play professional in the NWSL?
I had decided to go back to France because I felt too far from home, and I was just homesick. So, well, not homesick, but I was missing home. I wanted to go back and play somewhere in Division One.
And then you did go back.
Sorry, go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, you did go back, and you wound up signing for a club in the second division. But you I read in an article that you took a bit back from the U.S. in terms of the mentality or maybe the effort and being extremely disciplined was maybe something that you didn't have before you went to the U.S. Could you talk us through that?
Yeah. I think being like a fighter and have this like fighting mentality and to be able to make efforts and repeat efforts and not being like lazy on the field and everything. I think it's something that that you have to learn to like hurt yourself on the field. I think it could be something natural for people, but for most of us, we have to learn it. And that's what I learned in the US. I learned to, one of the things I learned thanks to the athletic trainers, but also to the girls, to their mentality, because some have this mentality. And I remember that I was playing a right back at the time, and we were like building an attack, so we were like attacking, and then the team won the ball back, and they countered us, and so I'm like going back to like defend. But not at 100%, you know. And our forward, our number 10, is like going by me super fast, and going back to defend. And I'm like, I just realized that I could be going faster. I'm just not going faster just because I don't know. It was not just that urgent for me to go as fast. I don't know why. And since that day, I'm like, she's not going to go by me anymore. Like, I'm going to be the one defending, like, before her. So every time after that, I was, like, sprinting back. And it was just, I just had to realize it. But I thought I was going 100%, but I was not going 100%.
Love that. Now, we hear a lot about the fitness tests from foreigners, especially when they're in college. Did you have any rough ones over those 3 years?
Yeah, I remember those. They were tough, but I don't regret any of them. It's like good to feel this way. If you don't feel this way in practice or in test, to me, you can't hurt yourself during the game. So they're good for your mind, and that's how I learned to hurt myself. And I think it's something mandatory for an athlete to be able to hurt yourself. It's not always going to be comfy.
Completely agree. And then in 2013, you did make a move to First Division side, which is now Paris FC, and you stayed there for 6 seasons, making 106 appearances. Was this a matter of finding a place where you could grow and establish yourself back in France? For staying with them for 6 seasons is quite a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was a club. I grew up in Paris, so I was happy to be playing in my hometown, close to my hometown, and also it was a club where we could we were not fully professional, and we could study at the same time. So again, we go back to not being fully professional and not even believing that I can do it. So I kept on, so I went back from Florida State where I had a degree. And when I came back to France, I kept on wanting studying because I still didn't realize I could be like fully professional and be focusing just on that. So to me, I wanted a French degree. So I went to play for this club, which was really high level, but also would allow you to do your studies on the side. So I studied for 4 years and played in this club for six. So, but I became professional at mid-time within this same club.
And so mid-time during that same club, was that very, when it became full-time, was it tough to balance the two?
I would say a little bit, but I was used to it. And also in the league at the time, most of the players weren't fully professional either, so they were, so it was kind of like what was done. And as I said, I was used to it, but now when I look back, I don't think I could do it anymore. Like today, I don't see myself waking up at 6:30 in the morning, go study, then drive 1 hour to go practice. It's, with what we do today, it's like no crazy. Way. I could
yeah. No way.
I'm also getting older, so yeah. When you're young,
Absolutely. Exactly. And how was that balancing the ego and expectations going from Florida State, which had, you know, the best facilities in the world compared to the best clubs in the world, to then going to France and playing part time? And I would imagine the facilities were nothing like what you had when you were at university.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And it's often the mistake that we make, even here today. Is that because we do women football and we've been used to have nothing or few things, we often settle with what we have. We're like, oh, that's pretty good. Like that's just enough. And but we need to keep wanting more. We need to keep wanting to play in the best facilities and have the best means. So. So I think at the time I was just happy with what I had, and it was just enough. And today I try to like fight more for what we deserve and have the best facilities possible.
When it switched to full time, was that when it switched for you? Like, okay, like I can be a pro now. I can do this full time.
Yeah,
that's it. Just came when it came. So there was no thoughts before. Okay,
exactly.
Very cool. So what changed for you in that time then? I mean, did you take it more seriously? Were you putting more into it? Or was it kind of just the same with a different title?
No, I did take it more seriously. So in the invisible training, as we say, like eat better, sleep more, rest more, not see as much people, not travel as much. Just because I had a professional contract, I just was important to me to behave even more as a professional athlete, and realized that my life was actually based around football, based on soccer.
And speaking of that, you were involved with the national team throughout the youth, and then you did make appearances for the seniors team. How did it feel to represent something so big, representing your country?
Yeah, that's something big. Yeah, it's great. Unfortunately, it didn't happen more than I could have wished for me, but it's. Yeah, that's one of the goal also when you do women football, to represent your country. And that's, to me, that's the biggest with, and also playing in a club big like Lyon, it's like the best thing that can happen to you when you play football.
I'm wondering if you could touch on maybe this difficulty of not always being called in. And, you know, I think from your stats, there was some times where you made appearances and like, or called into the camp 2017 or 2018, and then not again until 2021. I was just wondering what that process is like mentally, to not always be a part of it and then to come in and have to be ready.
It's difficult because the last time I was called back, I didn't really expect it because I wasn't playing better than I was playing usually, or I was so when you're not really like, when you're not called often, and when you don't feel as a concern as when you're called sometimes and from time to time. But yeah, it can be frustrating sometimes to see like that player you play with go to the national team. Sometimes you can be wondering, well, why not me? What could I do better? Or, I feel like I'm doing good lately. Sometimes you're just not doing good, and you're like, I don't deserve to go anyway. But yeah, to me, it's not secondary. But if I get called, I get called, and if I just try to do my best, and then sometimes they're just. So it also depends of the coaches. Sometimes you just don't fit to what the coaches want, and you just have to accept it. But it doesn't affect how I do on my for my club team, which is the daily matter and the most important. Yeah.
Like you said, it's a game of opinions, and sometimes a coach simply likes another player the way they play more than yourself. But at the time, of course, looking back, it's easy to understand this. But at the time, did you realize that it's just the coach's opinion, and maybe even I'm not playing poorly, he just wants a player over me for whatever reason?
Well, yeah, the only choice anyway is to understand it, because you don't have a choice. But at a time in Bordeaux, it was a bit difficult because. We were three number six, and we were playing with two, and the one I was playing with was going all the time and being captain and everything, and the other one was on the bench, so she was not playing, and she was called all the time, so the two were called all the time, and I was not called, and I had like no, and I felt like I was performing pretty good, not saying I was the best number six in the country at all, but. Of course, you always like try to compare you to who's going and stuff, and also from the fact that the other player was not playing. But then I always try to understand this player. This player is younger. Maybe she wants to form her, and maybe she's the future. And yeah, but it. So you just have to accept it and keep on performing. Because if you don't perform anymore, then you really have no reason to be called. So yeah, just to accept it and focus on your daily matter, which is the club.
Speaking of Bordeaux, how did that move come about? And did you feel like it was just the right time to make a move from Paris?
Yes, it was the right time to leave after 6 years. 6 years in the club is a good amount of time. So yeah, I wanted to go. Actually, the club, as I said, was still allowing other players to do their studies, and I kind of felt like the club wanted to stay, like was going towards professional, but kind of wanted to stay like in between, like semi-pro and everything. We were like training more at night so that people could study, and I wanted like a more structured and more professional like life, to train in the morning, to be in a like professional club. So I moved to Bordeaux, which at the time had a really interesting project, and I wasn't disappointed. Like we played for the third position behind Lyon and PSG, which you know are the greatest in France, and it was we had a pretty decent team, and we played some good football, good atmosphere, and in a professional club. So that was a good experience. Then after 3 years, unfortunately, the owner changed, and the project changed. The sport project changed, so
it was again time.
Yeah. Exactly. And before we move on to that move to Lyon, at Bordeaux, you actually played with a former FSU alumni as well, Malia Berkeley, who we actually just had on. How was that to have, you know, not only an American, but also from the same university? Did you have a connection right away with her?
Yeah, definitely. I just, it's funny, I just wanted her to feel good, a little bit like if my little cousin from abroad was coming in the team, and I had to make sure that she was doing okay, she was enjoying it. And I knew she was coming before because we had a Zoom meeting just like we're doing right now with her and our former coach. That was just to like take the temperature, and she had like questions to ask me and about how were things in France. And yeah, since then I always try to make sure that that she was feeling good overseas, like FSU people did when I was back there. So that was important to me. Yeah.
Returning the favor. And it's funny how small the footballing world is, but let's talk about that move to Lyon, because we spoke about it before and what it means to play for a club, but specifically moving in and then coming in as a right back after you've played midfield for most of your career. So what was your mindset like when it comes to playing a different position on a new team?
Yeah, well, I didn't really come here to be a right back. I came here and they knew I could help as a right back. So that was like part of the package of the deal. Mm-hmm. But it was more to like help, and like they knew I could, I had played in this position. But yeah, it was great. As I said, I still had a year of contract going with Bordeaux, and the project was not what it was. Bordeaux is right now paying to not go down in the second division. And I'm 31 years old. As I said, I'm more towards the end of my career. Like, I don't have that many years of playing. So I did not want to be playing for this project. So I looked for the opportunity to play for a better project, and Lyon is actually a better project, more ambitious project. So that is the main thing for me, is to be playing for ambitious project this year, and not be losing a year. So right now I'm gaining a year. I'm playing with the best players in the world, having games all the time, and so to me that was the most important. Moving to an ambitious team.
Yeah, and with that, how has your motivation or ambition changed throughout the years?
What do you mean? Sorry.
So how throughout your career, from university to playing semi-professional, then the move to Bordeaux and now Lyon, how has your motivation or ambition for in football itself changed throughout your career?
Well, I'm just seeing that wherever I go, and with the level rising every time, I manage to like adapt, and I do what I do. I play football, and I manage to raise my level. So I want to be as high as my level permits me. And if it's Lyon, it's Lyon. And if it's there's no higher, but if it's higher, it's higher. Embracing every day playing, but also I like to play for like as high as I can play, so I'm always looking to challenge myself too.
We spoke a little bit about it before, just this idea of staying present and kind of just maybe not worrying about the future so much, but just attacking things when they come. Just wondering how important this is for you even now, and how you kind of use this in your everyday life.
Well, I do always tell myself something, is that I trust life and I trust where life is taking me, and I really have this positive state of mind. Well, sometimes of course you have down moments, but in down moments I'm always capable to tell myself this is gonna get better. Like, it's always gonna get better. So I'm always in this positive mind.
Has there ever been a time mentally where you've kind of gone through a hurdle and then maybe didn't handle it the way that you would have handled it now?
Not really. No.
That's good though. You've had this you've had this mindset for a long time. It seems like it's kind of been imprinted in you and how you approach the world, really.
Yeah, I feel like trusting life always takes you back to good situations.
Mm-hmm. And a good medium, definitely. So reflecting on the journey so far, what things would you say helped you to get to this moment in your career? So I guess in other words, why did you make it as a professional footballer?
Definitely the love of football. Like I just love playing. I just love watching football. It's like, it's always been it, and it will always be. And I think I'm here because I love football so much. If I just liked it, okay, I would have stopped a long time ago.
Brilliant. And that will take you, I mean, it's taken you to the highest peak of the game at Lyon. Like you said, there doesn't get much higher than that.
There is no higher, yeah.
No. Good. And with that, we could jump into the fast feet round, a few quick fire questions, and we'll wrap it up. So your favorite player growing up?
Favorite player growing up, I have to go with Zidane. Not only because he's French, but because he's just... he's just
it helps, maybe.
He's just pretty to watch. Like, it's just beautiful to watch him play. I also like Ronaldo, the striker. I thought he was really impressive, but I would say my favorite, and probably because it was just the age when I watched him a lot play, and he was he signed in PSV at the time. You know who I'm going to say? Ronaldinho.
Oh, of course, yeah. Sometimes I forget that he had those years at PSG.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, it was just so fun to watch.
Mm. Speak about someone who had love for the game. I mean, is there more than Ronaldinho?
Yeah, that's it. Just happy to be, just happy, you know, happy mm-hmm. playing.
Yeah,
absolutely. Favorite moment for you in football?
I would say qualifying with Bordeaux for the round of Champions League, even though we lost to Wolfsburg, but I would say that moment. We also won the United with the French national team U19. We won the European Championship, but. Yeah, that was a long time ago. The most recent was this one, and that was the most appreciable.
Most difficult moment in football?
It's the same memory, actually. It's when we lost to PK to Wolfsburg, and we didn't make it to the group stage with Bordeaux.
Highs and lows of one game.
Yeah.
There it is. Best advice you ever received?
That I don't know, honestly. I can't remember of any good advice I received, or someone that told me something that, you know, like changed my career or changed something. Can't remember. Maybe it's
fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Favorite place you've lived?
In Bordeaux, actually. Bordeaux is a nice city, not far from the ocean, and Lyon is actually a nice city, but I'm missing a bit maybe the ocean, and it snowed today, so that
That's different.
Yeah.
That makes sense though. What about favorite place to travel?
I would say going to my roots, so in Basque Country in France, southwest, where my dad is from and where my dad's family is, and going to Martinique, where my mom's family is from, Caribbean island. I would say Basque Country and Martinique.
Love that.
Best player you've ever played with and against?
Best player I played with, gonna have to be the players I play with this year in Lyon.
Love that. Fair answer.
Yeah.
And against, I was impressed by back when I played with Juvisy, I was impressed by Christiane when she was playing at her highest level. She's a Brazilian player. She's really impressive, actually. Mm.
If you weren't a footballer, what would you be?
I think I'd be covering football.
As a journalist?
Yeah. So I'd probably be in Qatar right now commentating. And...
Nice. Well, hey, maybe next World Cup. There yeah. you go. In America.
Yeah.
Or the Women's World Cup. Favorite book?
I don't read so much, but I have a favorite author. He's he does comics books. He's he's French. His name is Riyad Satouf, and he just talks about society, but in a funny way. So
gotcha.
Comic book.
So I know you can't think of any maybe life changing advice, but is there any quotes or mantras that you live by?
Well, as I said earlier, I trust life, and I often say in French that je fais confiance à la vie. I trust life.
Love that. Is that a direct translation, or it's kind of?
It's not close enough. It's not a saying. It's my saying.
Gotcha. Love that though.
I love it.
I mean, that's great. I just from this episode, I can get a little bit of a picture about this and this trust in the life. And it was really enjoyable for us to hear about your path. And I'm really excited for people to hear. So we really want to thank you for coming on.
No problem at all. It was great speaking with you guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good luck. Good luck in the Champions League. Good luck in all the games coming up. And hopefully it doesn't snow too much in Lyon.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we don't need the snow right now.
No. Us either. So first, obviously, we have to give a shout out to Janice Kamen for putting that together and helping with the connection. And it was amazing for her to come on. I really enjoyed her story, and her outlook is refreshing in terms of just it seems how she goes about it or how she approaches things mentally. And this trusting life idea is a refreshing one, and just it's kind of how I see it. And I'm sure probably we could all take that phrase trusting life a little bit differently, is just in terms of things are going to happen regardless, good things, bad things are going to happen. And once they happen, it's just about adapting and then going on to the next thing. So she wasn't so worried about going to Florida State because she knows, like, you know, she's done things like this before and it's not so much of a worry. Maybe it's just, you know, the environment can change a little bit and that can be a bit scary at first, but it wasn't so much, or that, you know, making moves from different clubs didn't have so much fear, or there wasn't so much regret, or, you know, these kind of moments in her career, because they just are the things that happened. And it's just about continually to just be, really, to just be there in life, be present, and just to adapt with good moments or bad moments as they come.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just controlling what you personally can control, and everything else will come as it is. I mean, she kind of said that, like, you know, it, what happens will happen, and you can control what you can. That's the only thing you can do. Like with the national team, if you keep playing well, maybe you don't get called in, maybe you do. If you play mm-hmm. poorly, you will definitely not get called in.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing you can do in this case is do your best. And of course, like it was a weird situation where, you know, one girl that's playing next to her is in, but the girl that's behind her on the bench is also getting in. Of course, that leaves you in a weird limbo space of this doesn't make any sense, but it's a game of opinions. There's things in the background that go on. Maybe she was younger and they wanted to groom her into the position. Maybe there's some other political stuff in the background, but regardless, you can't let that affect your performance with the club, because ultimately, if you do that, you have no chance of ever making it again. And also in terms of just mentally, there's, you know, that doesn't help you at all if you just worry about it or complain, because it's not going to help your situation. Yeah. Just controlling what you do and doing your best is the only thing and the best thing you can do for yourself.
Trust in life, man. Trust in the road. Trust in the path. Trust in the process. It's all about this trust.
You got to learn the French phrase.
Yeah, I might have to slow that down a few times. Do like 0.25 on the listen back on this one. Just to nail that one down. I like that. Before we go, just on the aspect of women's soccer that we brought up a little bit in the beginning and at the end, and we talked a little bit off camera with her. Just this idea that, you know, being satisfied with where it's at, because we can all agree women's football has come a long way, but that's great, but that doesn't mean everything. And there's always more we can be doing. There's always more Footwork Podcast can be doing to help grow the game as it should be grown. And we encourage all of those who are listening, to do the same and look for ways that they can help grow the game as well for everyone who deserves it, really.
Yeah, I mean, and just general life advice, you know, like that phrase good enough, like it's not really great in any situation, you know, because if you just settle for what is, you know, say, it's good enough, that also means there's so much room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think,
good enough is like, it's literally just almost getting to the bar, really. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
you're trying to raise the bar at every, at every moment. So
exactly.
Amazing things. Look what we took away from that episode. Amazing things. Really looking forward to seeing, you know, Lyon and her and Janice and how far they can go with in the Champions League and in the league. They're 1 point off the top right now in the league. And I can't wait to see where they go and where the rest of her career takes her. Obviously, she's been around for a little bit, but I can imagine with the love for the game like that, she'll be around for a lot more in playing and then also in journalism, hopefully. So, thank you to her. Thank you to all you guys who helped make the first merch launch successful. Maybe there's a few more left. We'll see. But really, I guess a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays to all those out there.
Yeah. Very punctual. Exactly.
Very punctual. Absolutely.
And with that, you know, keep plugging and passing. As we always say, that free support really does help. Subscribe on YouTube. Give us 5-star reviews, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff. It does make a difference and we appreciate it.
And if you thought 2022 was a big year for Footwork, just wait for 2023. Just wait on it.
We'll hold off on talking more about that.
Yeah.
So until next time,
keep moving forward.
Keep learning.
And make your own path.
Footwork is sponsored by ourselves and great companies such as Kong Fitness. But we love to partner with new brands to make their own path, so get in touch if you must.
Footwork.club, the official Footwork website, is now live, so make sure you go join the club and check out all the new content and all the new features. Find us on YouTube at Footwork Podcast. You better like and subscribe while you're there. If not,
I don't know what to tell you.
Find us on Instagram at Footwork_podcast. Great time there. Twitter at Footwork Podcast. TikTok at Footwork Podcast, where we like to post dance videos. Those are great, but more importantly, amazing content for any dream chasers out there. Plug pass. Tell your friends, your enemies, your mother, your brother, your sister, your pastor, it doesn't matter who. Tell the mailman, your dog, anybody that can listen.
Like, subscribe, review, because all of that helps while you're there. We'll take whatever we can get to join the club.
Join the club. He messed me up. I mean, he can just mash it together, so it's fine.